Well, as some of you know, I was at a workshop yesterday with a bunch of other Presbyterians of various stripes, including the moderator-elect of the General Assembly, Amanda Curry. By the way, she's only the sixth woman we've had as a moderator of the Canadian General Assembly, and considering that we've been ordaining women since 1966, I think that's better than nothing, but I think we can do better yet still, and I think she's going to do a terrific job. But one of the things we were talking about is being a lectionary congregation, as we are, sort of what do you do with the various texts? And realized, and we were sort of just talking almost casually, that it's virtually impossible to connect all four of them unless you're just looking for a problem to solve. Frequently, you get two or three of them together, and realize that most of us tend to read the lectionary texts and then do as best we can to let the Holy Spirit direct us to the one that we need to talk about, which is frequently the one I come back to, at least for me. And it's not that I distrusted that process, but it was nice to hear that other people do something similar. So I'm probably still right in the middle of orthodoxy when it comes to preaching. And the text I kept coming back to, which I suspect is obvious by the sermon title, is Philippians. And we've talked about this passage before in other years, and we've talked about it in similar ways, but something struck me a little bit differently this year. Instead of using press on, which is a quotation from many of the translations, which I've used before, I think. There's nothing wrong with reusing a sermon title, but I try not to. I went with keep going, because I think it picks up something slightly different than what we've seen and talked about in this text before. So, why do we keep going? Well, we keep going because we aren't where we want to be yet. Only makes sense. You don't think about that, because if you're on your way to the store, you don't stop halfway and just go home. You keep going because you need to be somewhere. If you've been running for a while and you've run 4 whole kilometers, that's pretty impressive. But if you're running a 5-kilometer race, you're not done yet. So you're going to keep going. So Paul talks about keep going and keeping going in this text. And there's some things that I want to make sure that we understand in this text that I myself misunderstood when I was younger. As I've often said, you, for better or worse, if you're sitting out there, you frequently end up listening to somebody work out something on their own that might only be for me, but I hope it has some connection for you as well. And I frequently misunderstood what Paul was talking about here, and it's an easy mistake to make, because Paul talks about himself. There's this little autobiography, and he says, if anybody thinks they have confidence, if anybody thinks that they can do enough to make their way into heaven, I've done more. And he talks about these things. He was born in the nation of Israel. He became a Pharisee. He was zealous beyond belief. And in other places, he does talk about things that he knew were particularly right. And even here, he references that he persecuted the church. And he talks about these things that have led him up to the place he's at now. And then he says some interesting things. But whatever it was to my profit, this is a New International Version, so slightly different than the one in the Pew Bible, or in the Psalms and New Testament. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and goes on to describe them as trash. And what I heard was, everything that he did before was trash. That's not what he says. What he says is, all of those things that got me to this point are as trash compared to what I have now. So there was nothing wrong with Paul being born into the nation of Israel. There was nothing wrong with Paul being a Pharisee. Being a Pharisee does not equate to evil, by the way, no matter how much we think so. There's nothing wrong with that. There is things wrong with persecuting the church. It's not a perfect autobiography. But what we can lose sight of is what Paul is doing is he's saying, I was there, I'm here now, and what I have now makes that other stuff less important, which is altogether different than saying that stuff is less important. Now, I don't think very many of us can remember what sort of the critical details even of our lives when we were, say, 12. Let's try it for a moment. Think back to when you were 12. And imagine yourself asking your 12-year-old self, what's the most important thing so far? What's the biggest day, the happiest, whatever it might be? Take a moment to think about that. It could be almost anything. Maybe a trip to grandma's house. Maybe you won an award at school, or Something wonderful happened. And it was wonderful, because it was. That's what, at 12, that was wonderful. Now push forward to 18 and ask your 18-year-old self the same question. Once again, it could be almost anything. Maybe it's your first car, or your first job, or your first relationship, all kinds of things that 18 would stand out as that's the best so far. So obviously at 12, you were lying about the most important thing, weren't you? Of course not. At 12, that was the most important thing. At 18, something else had taken over. The first thing was still important. And we come back to the image I've used in lots of different context of a balloon. You blow into a balloon, it's full of air. You blow more air into the balloon, it's full of air. So before it wasn't full, it was only partially full. Well, no, it was full. It was as full as it could be, just now it can be more full. And we need to keep track of that at the back of our mind when we look at what Paul is talking about here. Because if we're not careful, we'll start drawing some bad conclusions about what Paul was like before, which we will then apply to ourselves. And it's very easy for us to look back at our younger selves and dismiss everything that happened there. And some of it, let's be honest, is probably worth dismissing. It's a little embarrassing, it's a little foolish. But we can't lose sight of what got us from there to here. And that has value. We don't dismiss it, because Paul is not dismissing this. Paul is not saying, oh, by the way, I was born in the nation of Israel, but I'm not really a Jew. Because he couldn't, because that was part of who he was. And it's part of who we are to get us to here. But it doesn't mean we have to stay here. And so when we think of it that way, then let's look at the rest of what Paul says. Because he's talking about perfection and these things that he wants. And he says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He presses on. Well, why? Well, one of the other things I took from this passage was that Paul needs to press on or he won't arrive. And I misunderstood this discussion of goal. And I had this feeling that if Paul is pressing on and if for some reason one of those shipwrecks he would have died, well, too bad for Paul. He didn't make it to the goal. I guess Paul is not going to heaven. That's silly when you put it that way, isn't it? But that's kind of how I thought. And I looked at this as this pressing on as if you have nothing. I looked at what Paul said that back then was nothing compared to what I have now, and all I heard was the nothing. When Paul is pressing on, he's not pressing on from zero. He's continuing. Paul is already in this race. We're all in this race. And by the way, if you are in the race, that's all you have to do. Yes, you want to finish well. But being in the race is the only call that we have. And the race is the relationship that we have with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Once you're in the race, in a very real sense, you've won. You're not finished yet. You still have things to do. You need to keep going. Not because if we don't keep going, we don't get in. This isn't a passage about whether you get in or not. This isn't a passage about what happens after you're dead. Not at all. This is a passage about what are we called to? Are we called solely to not going to hell when we die? No. All through Scripture, we are called to a relationship with Jesus in this world that is wonderful and gets more wonderful. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. He did not say, I have come that someday you're going to die and then it'll be okay. That's nowhere. That was my weird interpretation of this, that Paul was pressing on because he was afraid. Paul is not pressing on because he's afraid. Paul is pressing on because he's going somewhere. And wherever he gets to in this race is as far as he needs to get, because we don't know the end of the race. That's where the analogy breaks down. We don't know if we're in a 5K or 100 meters or a marathon or those crazy things that one of my former students does. Rosalind runs 100 miles on purpose. She enjoys it. She also has a company that makes cupcakes. So maybe she feels that one offsets the other. I don't know. a lovely young woman, and obviously a very competent athlete. I don't know what race I'm on, and neither do you. Paul didn't know what race he was on as far as distance goes. He just knew he was on it. And we keep moving because we're not finished. But the finish line isn't successfully not going to hell when you die. The finish line is being finished this part of our life, embodying the reality of Jesus within us, and then the next one, which we don't know about. Paul is pressing on because he knows that there's more to this relationship with God than he already has. Paul knows that because of his encounter with the living Christ, the same encounter we can have, not as dramatic as his, but the same encounter that we had and have with the living Christ, that there's more to come. It's not an all or nothing thing that you get it and that's all there is. Paul's saying that all that stuff I had that got me to there and even got me to here, compared to what I have now, just isn't that great. But there's more to come. When you look at it from that perspective, this little bit of Philippians becomes considerably less anxious, because there's no anxiety in there. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You notice that the prize isn't being in heaven? That kind of escaped me as well. I mean, that's part of the prize. But press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. You've already got the prize. The call is the prize. The relationship is the prize. The life that we can live in relationship with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit empowering what we do and informing what we do and giving us wisdom and talents and gifts and all of these things to do what we do, that's the prize. And we've already got it. But we can get even more of it if we keep going. I don't know how I ever found this passage kind of discouraging, but I don't now. And I think it's because I put the emphasis where it actually belongs. That we keep going forward because we are called by God. We're not called to be apostles. At least I don't think any of us are, and I know I'm not. Paul was called to be an apostle, and he was one. Whatever our call is, whatever the details of our call heavenward, is unique to us. But we all have that call. We're all equally called to press on, to keep going. Not because if we aren't careful to keep going, we won't get in. Because there's more. Because it can be better than it was. Because we will at some point look back on what we thought was the most wonderful thing today and look at it as not as wonderful in the same way we look at what we thought was wonderful when we were 12 or 18. Those were wonderful things for a 12-year-old or an 18-year-old. But the wonderful things I have now are so much more than that. Those other ones are almost unimportant. They're almost like trash, to use Paul's words. But only in comparison. And that's what we're called to, is moving forward into a life that becomes more and more what we were created to be and to do what only we can do. There are things, as I've said before, and I'm sure I'll say again, there are things that each of us is called to that only we can do. It doesn't mean that we are God's only means of grace to this person or whatever else it is. But nobody else can be the partner to your partner, or the parent to your child, or the child to your parent, or the best friend to your best friend. That's a unique call for you. And you can do it more and more if you keep moving. The easiest way to keep moving for most of us is to move towards something we want. Doesn't mean that we're not capable of running away from things we're scared from. It doesn't mean that sort of that fear or concern can't propel us forward, because it can. But the problem with running away from a bear isn't that it makes you want to run. It just makes you want to run faster than the person beside you. It really isn't the best way to run your life. isn't it better to be running towards the ice cream truck, which might have been the pinnacle of goodness when you were six? Or running towards a promotion, which might have been a wonderful thing when you were in your 20s or 30s? Running towards a new opportunity in retirement, wherever you are now? We're called two things. We're called two things, not away from things. This isn't about avoiding bad. This is about moving into this relationship, which obviously isn't perfect in the fallen world in which we live. It doesn't mean that every day is better to the exclusion of bad than the day before. But on balance, when we look at where we are now, back to where we were then, isn't it better? I hope so. Because as we keep going, as we keep pressing on, as we keep moving towards what we are called to, we're moving towards a deeper, a fuller, a better life. It culminates in the physical reality of glory, whatever that looks like. But we're not just biding our time till we get there. So keep going. Not that I think any of you are stopping. Not that I look out and see people who are complacent or have just said, yeah, this is as far as I go, I guess I'm not going to finish. There's none of that here. But sometimes we need just a little encouragement. Sometimes we need the reminder that if Paul could keep going, so can we. And that's what we're called to do. So wherever you are in your race, if you know how long it is, good for you. I don't know how long mine is, but wherever you are in your race, the only words I think Paul has for us today is keep going. Amen.